In chapter 13, Acts chapter 13, and we will begin reading in verse 1, Acts chapter 13, verse 1, it says, "Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, 'Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them.' When they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them and sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed into Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogue of the Jews, and they had also John to their minister. And when they had gone through the isle unto Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, who is also called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, 'O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season.' And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. Now when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. But when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch in Pisidia, and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and sat down. And after the reading of the law and prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent unto them, saying, 'Ye men and brethren, if ye have any word of exhortation for the people, say on.' Then Paul stood up, and beckoning with his hand, said, 'Men of Israel, and ye that fear God, give audience. The God of his people, of this people of Israel, chose our fathers and exalted the people when they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt. And with an high arm, he brought them out of it. And about the time of 40 years, he suffered he their manners in the wilderness. And when he had destroyed 7 nations in the land of Canaan, he divided their land to them by lot. And after that, he gave unto them judges about the space of 450 years until Samuel the prophet. And afterward, they desired a king, and God gave unto them Saul the son of Cis, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, by the space of 40 years. And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, 'I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. Of this man's seed hath God, according to his promise, raised up unto Israel a Savior, Jesus.' When John had preached before his coming the baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel, and as John fulfilled his course, he said, 'Whom thank ye that I am? I am not he, but behold, there cometh one after me whose shoes of his feet I am not worthy to loose. Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever amongeth you feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. For they that dwell at Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets which are read every Sabbath day, they have fulfilled them in condemning him. And though they found no cause of death in him, yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulcher. But God raised him from the dead, And he was seen many days of them which came up with him from Galilee, who are his witnesses unto the people. And we declare unto you glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God hath fulfilled the same unto us their children, in that he raised up Jesus again, as it is written in the second Psalm, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee. And concerning that he raised him up from the dead, now no more to return to corruption, he said on this wise, I will give you the sure mercies of David. Wherefore he saith also in another psalm, Thou shalt not suffer thine holy one to see corruption. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep and was laid unto his fathers and saw corruption. But he whom God raised again saw no corruption. Be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things from which he could not be justified by the law of Moses. Beware therefore, lest that come upon you which is spoken in the prophets, Behold, ye despisers, and wonder and perish, for I work a work in your days, a work which ye shall in no wise believe, though a man declared unto you. And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. Now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, It was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing ye put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn unto the Gentiles. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region, but the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city, and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and expelled them out of their coast. But they shook off the dust of their feet against them, and came unto Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. Now, Father, we thank you for the Word of God that we just read. And Lord, I just pray that you would help us to be like these disciples, to be filled with joy and filled with the Holy Ghost. And Lord, we just pray that you'd help us to understand what we need to do as we study this, not just a command, but we look at the people in the scripture that you tell us were filled with the Holy Ghost, that we might see and we might understand, we might learn, we might grow. And Father, we just pray, ask your blessing on each one that's here. And Father, for those who are not, we ask your mercy upon them and just pray, Lord, you'd help them today. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, when we look at this passage of scripture, we're going to continue this. I don't know if this is going to be the last one. Or one more, I'll just have to pray about it and find out what I believe the Lord wants me to do in this regard. But we're going to look at several chapters of the book of Acts today about people being filled with the Holy Ghost, and that's been the focus of this. And the idea, again, is to be able to look at the Scriptures and say, all right, here are the things that the Bible says about these people that were filled with the Holy Ghost. And what can we glean by that? How did they know that these people were filled with the Holy Ghost? I know we know God knows. But God also tells, back in Acts chapter 6, it was, I believe, 5 or 6. Acts chapter 5, I believe. God also tells them to choose out people that are full of the Holy Ghost. So they had to be able to figure out how these people were, who these people were, and the signs of them being filled by the Spirit. Now, in modern parlance, all they would talk about today, especially among the charismatic, is tongues, right? And by doing that, you're just ignoring the rest of the Scripture, and that's wrong. And we should never do that. We don't want to ignore anything. And so we'll talk about that. We're not talking about tongues. We're talking about being filled with the Holy Ghost. And tongues is a gift of the Spirit. And tongues has a purpose. And God gave it for a reason. God never does anything without a plan or a purpose. All right? He doesn't do anything slipshod. He's not the author of confusion. And so when we look at this, we need to look at everything the Bible says about people being filled with the Holy Ghost. And so we're looking here at Paul. We're at the church at Antioch. We're looking at Paul and Barnabas. And it says there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers as Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger and Lucius of Cyrene and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." And when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed into Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And then we go on and read the things that happened to them. But notice they started there, and we see something about these folks. We see them that they've been they were there. There were certain that had that were prophets and teachers, which, by the way, are gifts of the Holy Ghost. All right, gifts of the Spirit, if you will, and they're there, and he calls those out by name: Barnabas and Simeon, and Lucius, Manaen, and also Saul. And it says that as they ministered to the Lord and fasted. Now, that's an interesting thing. They were ministering to the Lord and they were fasting. They were doing the work of God. They were serving the Lord. And they were fasting. In other words, they put other things aside, even meals aside, to seek the Lord. They wanted to know the will of God. And that is the mark of a Spirit-filled person. A Spirit-filled person wants to know the will of God.
Amen. That's right.
A person that's not Spirit-filled doesn't want to know the Word of God. We have a large segment of people who talk about the Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost, and they talk about it, but they ignore whole parts of the Bible. How can you do that and be Spirit-filled? You can't. You know, and we've talked a lot about it, and I use a lot of simple little illustrations that people don't like to hear, and I use them on purpose. Like, you got this one fella became real popular, and I'm not even going to bother saying his name, but the fella is up there, and he's touted right now as a big teacher, and he's got a ponytail down to here.
Yeah.
And in the book of 1 Corinthians, it tells us, "Doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it's a shame unto him?" Right? Now, long hair doesn't have anything to do with your salvation, but it might have something to do with your sanctification. Might have something to do whether or not. And if this fellow was ignorant, and I mean, a fellow comes in, he's got long hair, I'm not going to say anything. I'm just going to preach the Word and let the Word of God. If he studies the Bible and studies the Word of God and reads that, he's going to say, and his heart is humble, he'll say, "Well, you know, I'm a man. My hair is long. I need to do something about that."
Amen.
I'm just being honest with you. I'm using something that's so simple, but people and everybody's like, "Oh, your hair don't matter." And people say, "Well, Jesus had long hair." Well, no, he didn't. No, he didn't.
No.
And I'm not trying to be ugly about this. I'm not, you're majoring on the minors. Well, nothing's minor when it comes to obeying God. And that's our biggest challenge, isn't it? We have to learn to obey God. But yet you have this fella that's up there, and there's more than one of them. You have this fella up there, and he's claiming to be a teacher and a prophet and all this other stuff, and yet he's just disregarding parts of the Bible. How do you do that and be Spirit-filled? And why don't we recognize that? And I'm not talking sinless perfection. I'm talking about desiring to know the will of God. And you know, the funny thing is, we kind of hurt ourselves. And I understand you can get all pompous and pious and say, well, I've got a haircut and you don't, ha, 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 whatever like that. Well, if you do that, you know, good for you. You have your reward. But that don't mean that God put something in the Bible because it doesn't fit my ideas and my lifestyle. I can just disregard it. No, it's something between you and God. That's between you and God. I agree, but I'm supposed to be a pastor. I'm supposed to preach the whole counsel of God. So I'm just talking about this. And what I'm saying is we have a bunch of people out there that talk about serving the Lord and everything like that, but they just ignore whole parts of Scripture, and we got to get away from that. And it's not just, by the way, it's not just the charismatic folks. I'm not just talking about them. There's a lot of independent fundamental Baptists that just ignore portions of the Bible.
That's right.
We got to be careful about that. When you're going to serve God, there's all kind of ways of serving God. You know, we talk about worshiping the Lord, and the idea of worship the Lord. Everybody, when you say worship the Lord, everybody's talking about the song service. Amen, the song service. And I'm good. I like good song services. I like it when people sing out loud. But I tell you what, worship is not just the song service. If that is the extent of your worship, you've missed it. It's more than a Sunday sermon, more than two upraised hands. Much more than just a song of praise, though it be heard throughout the land. Much more than joyful giving, much more than bended knee. It comes from hearts completely His, a savor oh so sweet. Worship is a way of life. To be a living sacrifice to Him who once was sacrificed for us. To love thy God much more than life. Submit to Him and daily die. Worship is a way of life.
Yes.
And it goes down to every part of your life. When we talk about worshiping the Lord, you have the idea of worship. But worship isn't just one thing. They ministered to the Lord and they fasted. And the Holy Ghost spoke to them. Now we're not told how He spoke to them. So did He speak audibly? Don't know. Bible doesn't say. It doesn't matter. What matters is He spoke, they recognized it as being the Spirit of God. That's a good question. Do you recognize the Spirit of God speaking to you? And as they prayed and they fasted, they put things away, they sought, they wanted the will of God. And so God sent Saul and Barnabas forth, and then they came down and they run into this fellow called Elymas or Bar-Jesus, a false prophet. And just like Philip ran into Simon down in Samaria, here's another false prophet, and they're preaching the word, and he's opposing them. And it says in verse 9, then Saul, who is also called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, O full of subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately fell on him mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. And then, of course, the deputy said, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. And they went down, they preached the gospel. Now, notice something about them. We see the gifts of the Spirit. All right. We see miracles, Paul doing this thing. We see the gifts of the Spirit in Paul having discernment and being filled with the Holy Ghost and understanding who this guy was and what he was actually about and who was behind him. And now he deals with the people there. We see their boldness to speak the Word of God. But you know what? The majority of this chapter is talking about Paul and Barnabas preaching the gospel, isn't it? And there's persecution. And we go through that. And we get down to Acts chapter 13, verse 52, after Paul and Barnabas have been run out of the country by the persecution. It says at the end of that chapter, and the disciples were filled with the joy and with the Holy Ghost. We see the fruit of the Spirit, don't we? These are the things that should be manifest in the life of a person that is filled with the Holy Ghost. You're going to see the, whatever gift God has given him. And beloved, you know, we just want to jump on the dog and pony show. We want to see something happen. We want to hear some new thing or something like that. We don't. When you go to the gifts of the Spirit, we always want to focus on, oh, tongues, miracles, prophecy, you know, healing. But that's not all of them, is it? You know, when's the last time, if ever, you've heard somebody say, "Woo! I got the gift of administration! Hallelujah!" Huh? I got the gifts of helps! I'm going to go out and help someone! We don't hear that, do we? Which shows that we have a problem, and the problem is we're focusing on trying to have something instead of just yielding ourselves to God and letting God do something. If you yield yourself to God, if you'll be filled with the Spirit, by the way, and by the way, let me just say this to you: if God commands us to be filled with the Spirit, and He does, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be what? Filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord. Ooh, wait a minute. You mean my music might have something to do with me being Spirit-filled? How about that? But I'm just saying that, you know, the wrong music could be a hindrance, couldn't it? It says, speaking to yourselves in psalms. In other words, you're meditating on the Word of God. You're studying and you're getting those psalms and you're letting them get into you. And there's 150 psalms, longest book in the Bible, 150 chapters, if you will. And if you go into the 1st, 2nd Samuel, 1st, 2nd Kings, there's several places in the Old Testament, Habakkuk, Genesis, Numbers, I believe, maybe even Exodus. Exodus, definitely. Go into 1st, 2nd Samuel, 1st, 2nd Kings, 1st, 2nd Chronicles, different places. You'll find psalms that are in the book of Psalms that are repeated, or psalms that are in addition to the book of Psalms. Third chapter of the book of Habakkuk, a prayer of Habakkuk, and you read it, it reads like a psalm. And so there's 150 catalog psalms, and then there's psalms scattered throughout the Old Testament, and more of that than anything else. And one of the ways of being filled with the Spirit is speaking to ourselves in psalms. We ain't even got hymns and spiritual songs, but I would say that God wants His people to be Spirit-filled, wouldn't you? I'd say God's given us what we need to be Spirit-filled. It's a command. So if it's a command, it's something that we can accomplish, isn't it? God's not going to command us something we can't do. But I just want you to think about that. When we talk about being filled with the Holy Ghost, we're not talking about just the outward manifestation. We're talking about whether you say walk in the Spirit, led by the Spirit, filled by the Spirit, yielded to the Spirit. It's all the same thing. I keep saying that over and over, and I'm going to keep saying it. But that's what He's talking about. But we see these things that happen in them. We go on, if you go to Acts chapter 15, if we read through Acts chapter 15, they're hashing out about what happened, because at Acts chapter 15, people came down to Antioch and they said, except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. Alright, they were wanting to. So Paul and Barnabas went to Jerusalem to the elders and they debated all this. And in Acts 15:8 it says, and God which knoweth the hearts bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as He did unto us. And they said that they were talking about the Gentiles, what happened with Cornelius and the others. And so they're understanding that. And they're dealing with it. But they're talking about they knew that these Gentiles that got saved had the Holy Ghost. And then when they send out in Acts 15:28, when they send out their verdict, if you will, from this conference, this council, whatever you want to call it, when they send it out, it says this: "For it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things." And they gave them a line. But notice what they said. They said that the Holy Ghost has given us witness to this. All right? This decision we made wasn't just our opinion. It's been confirmed to us by the Spirit of God. So you see that, you see these people that are filled with the Holy Ghost, and they're hearing what the Holy Ghost is saying to them. Once again, you go to Acts chapter 16. Turn over there if you would, Acts chapter 16, this is when Paul found Timothy. Paul and Silas are out, and they find Timothy, and Paul takes Timothy with him. And in Acts chapter 16, verse 6, "Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, and the Spirit suffered them not. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, Come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called for us to preach the gospel unto them." Now, notice that they were once again sensitive to what the Spirit want. They're going out, they're preaching the gospel, they're doing the work of the Lord, and they're ready to go into Asia, and the Holy Spirit says, "Nope, don't go there." And they said, "Okay, we can't go to Asia, so we're going to go to Bithynia." But the Spirit suffered them not. Okay, Spirit doesn't want us to go to Bithynia. There's obstacles, there's blockings, whatever the case may be. They understand, they're finding, they're learning, they're getting direction from the Spirit of God of what to do in their lives, of what to do in their ministries. They're getting direction from the Holy Ghost. And he says, "Don't go there, don't go there." And all of a sudden Paul sees a vision, and then they said, "Oh, God wants us to go preach the gospel of Macedonia." Notice the focus is not on them jumping and shouting and speaking in tongues and prophesying and all this. The focus is on the gospel, isn't it? And everything that's written in the Bible has its proper place, by the way. But being filled with the Spirit of God means you're going to care about the souls of men. You're going to care about getting the gospel out. Notice that, isn't it amazing that when you look at most teaching on the Spirit of God today, a lot of it is focused on all the, you know, the fruit of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, and the preaching of the gospel just seems to be left out. But you can't separate that from being filled with the Spirit, can you? Everywhere they were filled with the Spirit, they preached the gospel.
Yep.
And if you have no desire to preach the gospel, then how can you say you're filled with the Spirit? I'm just saying, I'm not saying the other things are important. They all have their place, but how can you say you're filled with the Holy Ghost and then don't want to do God's will when it comes to getting the gospel out? It's crazy. It's crazy to think that way. So, and then we move to Acts chapter 19. And at Acts chapter 19, of course, we have Paul, and we have Apollos, and Aquila and Priscilla, and all those things that happened there. Paul goes to goes to Athens, goes to Greece and preaches on Mars Hill and all those type of things like that. And then you get to chapter 19, verse 1, it says, "It came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, Unto what then were you baptized? And they said, Unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. When they had heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, and when Paul laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied, and all the men were about 12. Now, here's an interesting thing. Once again, we have tongues and prophecy being into this thing. And so Paul is coming there. He finds these disciples that were there. He finds some good, godly people talking about the Savior. But the problem was they didn't know who the Savior was. And he asked them, he said, Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? He said, We don't know what you're talking about. We've not even heard if there is any Holy Ghost. Which is kind of interesting, because if you go back to John's preaching, when John the Baptist preached, he said that there's one cometh after me that's mightier. I baptize you with water unto repentance, right? But he that cometh after me shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, right? So you would think that they should have at least heard about the Holy Ghost. But at some point, they didn't know anything about the Holy Ghost. They didn't know anything about that. They didn't know who the Savior was. So while John is preaching the baptism of repentance, sometime between the time he started and the time that Jesus came, and he pointed out in him and said, Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world, sometime between the time he started and he made that declaration that the Messiah coming after him would baptize him with the Holy Ghost and with fire, they had obviously repented at the preaching of God, John, and left. Maybe they were just passing through. Maybe they were Jews that lived in Ephesus, and they came to Jerusalem for worship like the Ethiopian eunuch did. They heard the preaching of John. They got baptized and went on back home. And then they hadn't heard anything yet. I don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us. Just Paul found them. They were there at Ephesus. They'd been baptized by John the Baptist, and they'd heard nothing about the Holy Ghost. So what does Paul do? Paul preaches the gospel to them once again. And as he preaches to them, they had been baptized by John the Baptist. He tells them about what John said, and he preaches Jesus. And then when Paul laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came upon them, they spake with tongues and prophesied. Now, there's no reason to believe that the tongues here were anything other than the tongues that were in Acts chapter 2 or Acts chapter 10 with the Gentiles. Alright? So the same thing. They spake with tongues and they prophesied. In other words, they started preaching in tongues, in different tongues than they knew. And there was a manifestation there. But these were Jewish disciples, disciples of John. John didn't run around preaching to the Gentiles. So they were Jews. And now you have the Apostle Paul. And now he does the exact same thing that Peter and John did when they came down to Samaria with the Samaritans. Once again, tongues are a sign for them, not for them that believe, but for them that believe not. And he said, And the law is written with other tongues and other lips while I speak unto this people. Yet for all that they will not hear me. You go back into the book of Isaiah, the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 14, and you look through that passage of Scripture, and you look at what it says about that. In tongues are a sign predominantly and specifically to the Jewish nation. And now Paul is being given witness by the Holy Ghost to his apostleship, just as Peter and John were before the Samaritans. So we see these things happening. We see it happen. People that have already believed on Jesus, been baptized, we see them, this sign come upon them, if you will. We see it happen when the apostles lay hand on the Samaritan disciples. We see it happen while Peter's preaching to the Gentiles before they've ever been baptized. Boom. And then Peter has to say, "Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized?" And that's what Peter had to go. And when all this talking about the Gentiles, should the Gentiles be saved? Or can the Gentiles be saved? God had to show these Jews that the gospel was for everyone. And here again, we see it yet again, but it has a specific context, and it clearly shows that, like the Apostle Paul said, "I was not a whit behind the very chiefest apostles." We see Paul doing the same things that Peter did, that John did, that the other apostles did. So this confirms the apostleship of Paul. And it's there for a specific reason. But we learn from it, and we see that when these people were filled with the Holy Ghost, they didn't just speak with tongues, they prophesied, they preached the Word of God. That's what they did. So we see that again. Then we go to Acts chapter 20, verse 23. Paul is preaching, and he says, if you go to Acts chapter 20 real quick, Acts chapter 20, and he says in verse 17, he says, "From Miletus he sent to Ephesus to call the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, You know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance amongst all them that are sanctified." And he goes on and talks about that and talks about him leaving. But notice, he's talking about how the Holy Ghost is witnessing in every city, saying bonds and afflictions abide him. Notice that he's also now preaching in Asia. God's opened the door for him to go to Asia. And now he tells them, "Take heed unto," verse 28, he says, "Take heed to yourselves, therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God which he has purchased with his own blood." And so we see that picture there. We go to Acts chapter 21, and as Paul's in verse 21, verse 3, it says, "Now when he had discovered Cyprus, we left it on the one hand and sailed into Syria and landed at Tyre, for there was a there was the ship to unlade her burden. And finding disciples, we tarried there 7 days, who said to Paul through the Spirit that he should not go up to Jerusalem. And when we had accomplished those days, we departed and went our way, and they all brought us on our way with wives and children till we were out of the city, and we kneeled down on the shore and prayed. And when we had taken our leave one of another, we took ship, and they returned home again. And when we had finished our course from Tyre, we came to Ptolemais and saluted the brethren and abode with them one day. And the next day, we that were of Paul's company departed and came unto Caesarea. And we entered into the house of Philip the evangelist, which was one of the seven, and abode with him. The same man had four daughters, virgins, which did prophesy. And as we tarried there many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. We've seen Agabus before. He was one that prophesied about the dearth, the famine that was coming to Jerusalem and Judea. And when he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle and bound his own hands and feet and said, Thus saith the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. And so when we look at all that, Paul said he goes bound in the Spirit. People are hearing from the Spirit that bonds and afflictions abide him. They're warning him, don't go there, because the Spirit of God has told us. And he said, no, I've got to go. The Spirit of God has told me. And people are prophesying. Philip the evangelist, who we left off in Acts chapter 8. He stopped at Caesarea. He's still there. He's settled there. He's preaching the gospel there. He's got seven daughters. They're all virgins and they prophesy. Notice where they prophesy though. They prophesy in his home. They don't prophesy in the church.
That's right.
We have a lot of, and I know this is just going to irk people to death, but we have a lot of women standing up in churches trying to take leadership that they shouldn't be taking.
That's right.
It has nothing to do with their ability, has nothing to do with their spiritual gifts, has nothing to do with that. But the simple fact is, by the way, let me just say this, my wife is not a co-pastor of this church. She is not a pastor. She never will be. She's not. She's blessed by God with her own gifts and abilities and things as she'll yield to the Spirit. But don't ever get the point to think that somehow, you know, that she is, if you have questions that you feel need to be addressed to the pastor, don't address them to her, address them to me.
That's right.
Because that's not her job.
That's right.
But boy, we sure miss that, don't we? But anyway, I just wanted to go on, and we look at that, and then we go down to Acts chapter 28, and Paul is at the very end, 28 verse 25, when they agreed not among themselves, they departed. After that, Paul had spoken one word, well spake the Holy Ghost by Esaias the prophet unto our fathers, and he talks about that seeing they would see and not perceive, hearing they would hear and not understand, and he says, you know, that we're going to the Gentiles. And Paul continued to preach there. And we see throughout the book of Acts, and this is not the only places we could go to the book of Acts. There are several other places we could talk about things that happened. But I wanted to focus on the place where it specifically mentioned the words of the Holy Ghost. And that's what I wanted to focus on. And as we look at these people, we see things about them. We see the gifts of the Spirit being manifest by all means. We see the fruit of the Spirit being manifest by all means. But we also see people that want to know the will of God, people that are seeking the understanding of what God wants them to do individually. They have there. They pray, they fast, they minister to the Lord. They have different priorities than the rest of the world. And one of the biggest things that problems that we have is too often our priorities are self-centered, not God-centered. When our priorities become self-centered, that's proof positive we're not filled with the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Well, I got to take care of myself, preacher. I can't just focus on the Lord. Well, you know what? If you'll focus on the Lord, then maybe the Lord will take care of you.
Hello.
every one of us to be filled with the Holy Ghost. That's for every believer. It's not for a chosen few. It's for every believer.
Amen.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for your love and your kindness and your mercy. Lord, I just pray you'd help us to grab hold of this concept of being filled with the Holy Ghost. Help us to look at our lives and look at the book of Acts and see the things that were in them and see if those things are in us. Lord, if they're not, help us to be honest with ourselves. Help us to repent and humble ourselves and just desire your will in all things. Lord, we need to be filled with the Spirit. We need you to work through us. And that won't happen unless we get out of the way, unless we humble ourselves. And Lord, I just pray you'd bless the preaching of your word. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. All